Okay. Calling the meeting back to order.
Ding, ding, ding. I'd like to go first on the PMB report.
Thank you.
I'd like to go first on the PMB report. I'll be short.
Okay, great. Okay, we're going to start our meeting back again, and we are now at the PNB reports and presentations. So Sabrina, our honey-voiced Sabrina, will go first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, my name is Sabrina Jacobs, and as far as I'm concerned, I am still the acting vice chair of the acting chair and then vice chair of the Pacifica National Board, regardless of the New York judge, their judgment, as far as the situation with WBAI is concerned. I just want to let folks know that there have been many changes on the national level in regards to WBAI, our New York unit. I did stand behind John Verniel and what needed to be done as far as stopping the financial leaking through WBAI, draining the other units within our network, as well as the affiliates and PRA. It was a necessary move to save the network and the bottom line, as you both, as everyone has heard from both the KPFA treasurer and the NFC chair, that the numbers don't lie. The information that was communicated by the NFC and NIDA, our accounting firm, told us the truth about what we needed to do in the short term. As far as I'm concerned, there have been no other solutions that have been implemented. There have been great ideas, but nothing solidly put into place. And that will hurt us in the short and long term. I think there also needs to be an explanation as to why those folks who voted against the actions of John Verniel, I think they need to explain themselves why they voted the way that they did. And if they're voting the way that they did and still stand behind those votes, you know, we as a body, as a suggestive body, as the LSB, need to know what other options are lined up or other solutions are lined up to save this network. Because WBAI is back to where it was, and that leaking has gotten worse. So I pose my question to Tom Voorhees, my fellow PNB director, since he voted against the actions of John Verniel, to answer those questions to the LSB, the KPFA LSB. And I'd like to cede the rest of my time to Donald Goldmarker.
Somebody's there. Donald?
Yes, just coming online here. Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Well, Sabrina just touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of what has taken place in Pacifica the last 2 months, all precipitated by what you heard much earlier about the financial hemorrhaging at the New York station that I categorize as a vampire radio station that not only keeps sucking resources from the rest of the network, it perennially fails to donate its part of the share of keeping the national radio network alive. So it's hurting us in two ways, despite all the questions you may have heard earlier. There's a division on the board, on the national board of directors that has resulted in BAI being allowed to continue doing what it was doing prior to October 7th, which means it is continuing to drain resources from the network. There has been no evaluation of the manager in New York by that local station board, which means that the bylaws are not being obeyed in New York. Most recently, this new majority on the board voted to violate the bylaws yet again by allowing an extension of elections for affiliate directors to take place, which, if you read the bylaws, says you can't do that. but nevertheless, they did it anyway. So we have essentially a rogue national board of directors that has a majority that's doing whatever it wants, and meaning it's disregarding the bylaws of Pacifica, and it's disregarding prudent financial practices. I'd like to add one point about Netto, especially for those of you who are new, those of you who are listening to this stream. Netto is a nationally recognized nonprofit organization that assists both public radio stations and other public media organizations in helping them to straighten out their own individual situations. That's why Netto was recommended to Pacifica well over a year ago to assist us in straightening out our finances and making recommendations for how to do that. And as a consequence, they have come up with a set of conclusions that I requested from them in November to explain our current situation. And their conclusions are that we are essentially skating on the edge of non-viability. We have not yet been able to complete the 2018 audit because, again, certain stations in this network have not provided the proper information to Netto and to the auditors to be able to complete their information. So in reality, we are a network that is really in trouble, as has been documented in previous audits conducted of Pacifica, the most recent one being 2017. And as you heard earlier in the National Finance Report, there is no viable strategy to either improve our revenue or to pay off a $3.25 million loan that will come due in 2021. So if that becomes true, I should mention also that as we continue to skate on this financial edge, you can rest assured that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which pulled its approximately $1 million annual grant to various stations in Pacifica, will certainly not be coming in anytime soon to bail us out, as they watch the continuing debacle that is known as Pacifica Radio. I'll just stop there for now.
Okay. I wanted to say something. I made these copies to back up Sabrina's report of what happened in 2017, one of the many times that Pacifica was being investigated by the California Attorney General's office. And there's a letter that requests information, and what's attached to it is the plan that they demanded from Pacifica National Foundation. And I've only attached one page because it's 22 pages, but I would be glad to send it out over email so everybody can read the entire. It's called the Financial Recovery and Stabilization Plan. And what it includes in it is if WBAI is still unable to be self-sustaining in 3 to 6 months, that it will be made on a temporary basis a repeater station, which is what Mr. Vernial did. And so that until it can recover financially and be stabilized. So I'm just going to give you all copies so you've got the copy of the relevant documentation. It is March 30th, 2017, 3 to 6 months.
Right, and it's a follow-up.
I just want to say when Don mentioned that Netto report, it was the two-sided document that I handed out before. Is that?
Thank you, Sharon.
There's actually four more pages, but I didn't want to copy them all. But that two sided net document is the most recent Netto report, and then the one-sided document was the October Netto report. I don't know. Was it November? I know it didn't have a date. No, the second one. It's from November, I believe, Chris. No. I don't have the exact date, but it was November of this year.
November 20th.
Okay, November 20th. Thank you, Don.
Just wanted to follow up with, as far as the Attorney General is concerned, the document that is being handed out by Madam Chair. We also had a conversation, or actually the Deputy Attorney General had a conversation with the Pacifica National Board at the end of 2017 and reiterated this morning that we're all getting here in writing and that Madam Chair Christina Huggins can send around virtually warning us, letting us know, hey, we need to get our act together, we need to get our audits together, we need to get our finances together, we need to get all of this together or we will be in jeopardy of losing our tax exemption status. We are still in jeopardy. We are still at that crucial moment. We are at the precipice. We are at the 11th hour. We are about to fall off the cliff, and we have been doing so since 2017, and some folks would say probably prior to that. So this is very serious, and I reiterate again that the folks that call themselves being the majority on the board making these ill-advised moves to put WBAI, our New York unit, back the way it was, need to come up with a solution to pull us back off the cliff as a network, because we cannot depend on one unit or two units to keep us afloat. We need to all be pitching in and doing what we need to be doing as a body, as an LSB, PNB, et cetera. Any questions? I'm free to take questions. Anybody else have anything to say? You guys have been talking, you and Chris.
Wait just a second.
Well, I'd actually like to hear from Tom.
Yeah, let's
I'd like
the reports
to hear,
first
you know,
from each
what
PNB.
His report is in regards to the way that he's been voting on the board.
Thank
you know,
you.
Not to put you on the spot, but I'd like to get some answers.
Well, I'm not going to say an awful lot because what I would say would keep us here way beyond the 3:30. But I will say in relation to Christina's earlier comment that the action against BAI was way, 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 way outside the bylaws. And I'm pretty much going to leave it at that. Carol did ask me, when was it? I think sometime last week, maybe the week before that, if I could pull a BAI report together of some sort, and I requested that, and we got a report from the BAI treasurer, which was sent to all of you, I believe, maybe last Thursday. I think you should all have that in your email if you haven't seen it already. And Carol also asked after the report came out, what the Gary Knoll situation is, and I have no specifics on that, although I was told this morning that there is some resolution to that situation with Gary Knoll. I have no information about what that is. That is, and that's pretty much all I have to say. And again, I don't want to go into a lot of details. Until we get some real spreadsheets that we can depend on in
Sabrina
terms
for the stack,
of numbers.
Please, Madam Chair.
Okay, and Chris, did you have a report?
I did have a report. I had a question on this document.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I have a question of our the fellow director here, Tom Voorhees.
We're just going to go into questions then, because if you don't have any report, then we'll just go into questions.
Director Voorhees, this is Sabrina, actually. What bylaws are you talking about as far as the actions taken by John Verniel in stopping the hemorrhaging, the financial hemorrhaging? What bylaws were violated?
Existing bylaws.
Okay, which existing bylaws? Can you quote those, please?
What do you mean, which? The original bylaws that this meeting
what
is operating under.
What part of the bylaws? You need to cite the bylaws if you're going to say that the bylaws were violated.
No, just the bylaws in general.
That's not an answer to my question, but thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. How widely distributed was this letter? Did this make it? I wasn't on the PNB at the time. That this was issued.
The House
Was this? I'm talking about the Attorney General's letter dated March 1st, 2017. I was wondering, did the PNB receive this? Did they acknowledge it? Did
yes.
they debate it? Did
yes. I don't know if they debated it. They all received it.
Okay, so there were recommendations in here that were not implemented at all.
Exactly.
So why did that happen, or how did that happen?
From memory, Tom wasn't actually on the board. From memory, being on the PNB, I was very new, as far as March of 2017 is concerned, and we just got hit with the Empire State Realty Trust issue, the back payments being due. But this was issued to the PNB and reiterated by Julianne Mosler in December 2017.
Right.
And it
well,
went to
actually,
yellow.
James was in next. Sorry. I'm taking sorry, stack. Sorry. Okay. That's okay. And that's okay.
I have two questions. One is about Pacifica Across America. So that was somehow funded, how that ever developed. And I was just wondering, what was the no. funding change for that? How did it come about, and is it continuing to be funded? Is it funded by the PNO, or
no.
is it? It's not funded. Okay, that's a. So then, if it's not funded, the question then becomes: it's my understanding that the PNO office finances are about the same as they were before NEDA came on board. And if that's the case, the whole point of NEDA was to take up some of the workload on the PNO that they were not able to get done, and it was supposed to do that. So how is that? Where's that money? There should have been a reduction in PNO costs to basically pay for the NEDA services. And so that becomes the question. And then the second one is, and this just goes back to what. The question at Tom is it seems like the question's the other way. What provision in the bylaws is there to shut down a station by the executive director without a vote of the PNB? Is there a bylaw that allows that to happen? And can you please cite the number of that bylaw?
Okay, well, your first question was pretty convoluted, but I'll answer the simple parts. And if you want to drill down a little bit more, I'm more than willing to answer those questions as well. So the part that I did catch, as far as Pacific Across America, it was not funded. It was all on a volunteer basis. It was all pulled from our affiliates and our units, the programming that we were able to pull. And that's how that became what it is. That is correct, as far as I know. And if they were paid, it was already from existing content. And what was your other part of that question? Okay. As far as the numbers with the PNO and NEDA, do you want to answer that part?
We already said zero.
Yeah.
We answered that.
Okay, so asked and answered on that part. Your next question?
Say it into the mic.
Oh, it was answered earlier with all the NFC and the treasurer answers. It's zero. The answer is zero. You got need the microphone.
Andrew, we don't do back and forth, just FYI.
This is just a clarification I'm asking for.
Okay.
The P&O costs did not go down when NEDA was hired, and the question was why. They should have.
That's down.
P&O.
Zero.
PNO
Pacifica National Office costs are zero. There are no people employed by them. The office is non-existent because they sold the building that housed the PNO people, and they hired NEDA to complete the audits. We're 3 years behind, and we didn't get CPB
the PNO
money because of that.
There's no PNO.
There is no PNO.
There's one phone.
There's a phone, yeah. There's no personnel.
And there's the storage.
The volunteer IED.
There's storage at KBFA.
The volunteer IED, yes. Go ahead, Sabrina.
And the third question.
What's the third question?
Did you have time? Do
you want to answer it?
Yeah. The provision about the action and how it's legal under the bylaws of John Verniel is that it is illegal to have people work for free. And when WBAI did not have sufficient funds to make its payroll, the legal and ethical response is to lay people off. That's how you deal with that situation. Yes, you cannot make them work when you cannot pay them. And there is a provision in the bylaws, which I'm trying to look up, that the bylaws must comply with federal and state law.
That's right. So if I'm gathering right, based on what you told me, this action that has been described as a coup is probably the most previously advertised coup I have ever heard of, in that it's basically spelled out, the coup, as it is being called, was spelled out 2 years before it actually took place. I mean, please correct me if I'm misunderstanding this
document. No, it was a legal, yes, it was a legal commitment to satisfy the cover letter that I supplied you with. And that was what Sabrina was trying to say, is the after they missed payroll on the eighth occasion within the last fiscal year that Pacifica had to make up the money. Pacifica had $2,000 in its reserve account because it had been paying WBI bills and it hadn't received central services, I think five times is the most in the last fiscal year, and it missed payroll eight times. So that was why the action was taken, and this was a legal commitment to the California Attorney General's office that if they were not stable, and in the bylaws you'll see, it says every station should be as self-sustaining as possible, and with one station wasn't, and kudos to WPFW,
right,
in Washington, D.C., because they were bleeding out, and yes. They were way in
yeah.
the hole.
Yeah.
They pulled Pierce. Themselves together. They turned it around, and they're doing great now. And I think that's really important for Washington office. And we'd like to see all of them succeed, but it's right. that was why that letter was issued then. They were failing at that point.
Exactly. And we have a fiduciary responsibility, not necessarily on the LSBs, because we are, you know, again, we're a suggestive body, but as far as the national board is concerned, we have a fiduciary responsibility. We are open to being sued if we don't fulfill that fiduciary responsibility. So to sit there and just let WBAI keep doing what it was doing and not take action, that's not something that I was willing to sit by and let happen personally.
Thank you. And Susan was next, and then... I'm sorry. Okay. Let me see. We had Frank. We had Christine was on it. Yes. Sorry, I got lost there. Okay.
Read through
the whole set. So Susan, Christine, Philip, and I'm missing, and Frank, Darlene. Darlene, Susan, Philip, Christine, and Frank. That's what I've got on the list. Missing anybody? Okay. I know that Susan was next. I know that much.
Okay, thank you. Chris, since you asked, my memory of what was going on at this time, well, first of all, I think this came about in large part because of the CFO having his hair on fire about what was going on, and the Attorney General's office got involved because they have jurisdiction over us. And Julianne Mosler was in charge of nonprofits for the Attorney General's office, so that's how this came about. However, there was huge things going on with nonprofit hospitals that were actually not doing any charity work or whatever, and there were all kinds of other scandals going on. So Pacifica was not what they were paying that much attention to, and I think that is true generally, that we are not at the top of their list, which is why, and also this is about the same time that John Prophet was our ED for like 2 months or something, because he came in and he looked at the numbers and went, oh my God, and left. So and that was just about the same time. So that's why it all kind of got lost.
Okay, Philip?
So I wanted to say something about Gary Null because there are people in the room that apparently don't know much about him. He is has been at WBAI for decades. He's in their lunch hour program. It's the most listened to program on the station. Gary Null is a purveyor of health aids, potions. During the AIDS crisis, he told AIDS patients in New York to stop taking their drugs to fend off the HIV virus. In fact, he said HIV does not cause AIDS. He prescribed for them his collection of vitamins that they should take instead of their prescribed anti-HIV drugs. He was denounced by New York ACT UP. He's been denounced by every gay HIV awareness organization in the country. He also makes a profit on each of his potions that he sells. This is self-dealing. He is offering his own magic potions on WBAI and KPFK's air. He takes a cut of that personally, and he sells them on the air. This is a violation of our nonprofit status. There's no one on any Pacifica station that should be making a profit personally off of something that they are advocating on the air. We can't even do it about advocating a concert that you are an organizer of. You cannot go on the air and tell people to come to your concert if you make money off of it. If you are a KPFA employee, of course, if you're a guest on a program, you can do that. He is not a guest on the program. He is a charlatan, and he does not belong on Pacifica Airwaves.
I think that next was Christine, and then Frank, and then Darlene. Frank? Go ahead, Frank.
I can get my questions right. Okay, I asked earlier, you guys said that we were paying like netted like $30,000 a month. How many months have we been paying them approximately?
Roughly a year.
Roughly a year, all right. And then I wanted to ask, which stations right now are not providing the information to complete the audits? Do you guys know which stations are having a hard time coming up with their documents?
Okay, so as of September 30th of this year, the catch up is complete in terms of the paperwork that's being submitted by the individual stations. Now, going back through that and reconciling all that stuff is part of the reason why I'm not publicly disseminating spreadsheets right now. That's part of the process, is that this stuff needs to be forced together in such a way that not only does it make sense in terms of balance sheet, but also that any questions that arise as a result of that reconciliation are addressed and then figured out. But the numbers are actually in at this point. Yeah, that took place, incidentally, this really recent reporting, okay? So I think as of even the last meeting, there were still some outstanding numbers from two or three of the stations. They were still bringing stuff in. But at this point, it's complete enough that it's been handed off to the auditor. So it's all in the audit department right now.
And then
I want to just say one thing for the new people. Our fiscal year runs from October 1st to September 30th. That's helpful to understand this information.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay, also, I guess, you know, we've all been caught up in the WBAI scandal, whatever you want to call it, the shutting down of the station, the coup, as some people will call it. And I'm just curious that we all know that it was bad over there. We need to do something. But to go about it in a way that apparently, according to the courts, has been returned back to, you know, the status quo, whether you like it or not. I can't understand the thinking to go in and like to lock it up, to remove equipment or to remove materials, to whether you laid off the staff legally or they were just locked out, you know, because we're way over here and kind of unclear on how it happens, right? I wasn't in New York. I didn't see, you know, how the doors got locked, what equipment was taken. You know, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly, you know, I'm only getting it from, you know, what the members that that report back. I've been on the board with you guys, and I never heard mention of it, and then suddenly it had happened. So I'm just curious. You know, there's lawsuits with the staff. There's lawsuits.
Time is up. Thank you. Do you want to answer the question, Sabrina?
Yeah, okay. So there was nothing removed from WBAI. The shutdown was done because, as just to reiterate what Sharon said, it's against the law. It's against federal law to employ people that you cannot pay, that are supposed to be paid. It's a contract between worker and company or whatever, the capitalist way. Yeah, federal law. So something needed to be done immediately because of the constant and consistent mismanagement by the general manager of WBAI, Berthold Reimers. It's been going on for over a decade now. So there were no other solutions put into place. By the time John Verniel, interim executive director, who came on, what, April, May of this year? Like around May or so. Something needed to be done because the money was coming from the other units, like KPFA, like KPFK, KPFT, WPFW, PRA, our affiliates. We're all getting sucked and siphoned of our finances in order to keep paying for the financial malfeasance of the general manager at WBAI in New York. Okay? That's what happened. No equipment was removed, just the employees. And they were laid off. They were not fired. This was not a coup. And what was your other question? That's it? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I'm sorry.
No.
Was it Christine or Darlene?
Both.
It was Christine. Well, let's Christine go.
Hey,
yes.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, works. Okay, so just a quick follow-up question for you, Sabrina, and also it was actually for Sharon, but since you're the topic is brought up again. So you were saying, it's a question of responding to federal law in order not to not to force people to work if they're not paid. But isn't it in the bylaws that the LSB, local LSB in New York, should meet and vote on that instead of
no?
So it's legal for the IED to fulfill his
fiduciary responsibilities. The bylaws of any organization, nonprofit organization throughout the country, don't matter. Federal law supersedes any bylaws. So
whose decision is it? So it's the IED's decision?
He took the initiative
whose call is it?
He ended up taking that responsibility to make that decision. He made that decision because he has a fiduciary responsibility, as per federal law and as per our bylaws.
Okay.
And as per the California Corporation Code, which is what this network is, or the location that this network is governed by. So there's three different tiers. There's the bylaws that we have to operate within, you know, internally with each other. Then we have the California Corporation Code in this case, because the nonprofit is incorporated here. And then we have federal law. So he was fulfilling his fiduciary responsibility on all three levels by doing what he did, making the decision he made.
Okay. And I just want to respond. Go ahead.
Okay. He didn't just make the decision on his own. He's gotten the professional advice of the general counsel of Pacifica, the accountants of Pacifica, NEDA. Okay, so when you're on a board like Pacifica, you have to do something which is called, you have to exercise your business judgment, which means you have to take in the advice of the professionals that you hire, and you have to take into account the advice that they are giving you, and then you have to act on those things. I mean, if you have a reason not to do it, okay, that's fine. Yes, but that is the law. And that's why I handed out the NEDA thing, because those information, especially the first one where it says, the first one which it says about WBAI basically draining the resources, that's what John Verniel had, And so that was professional information, and he acted reasonably in face of that, because the other side of that is to consider, how are you going to pay for WBAI? Has the majority, which Tom is part of, come up with a plan, an actual plan for paying for WBAI? There is no plan. So that is not a judgment, a business judgment decision that is reasonable.
Okay, just quick follow-up question. So the LSB doesn't have a say in that?
They're a suggestive body. All the LSBs are a suggestive body throughout.
We're
the
committees. We're not a board.
Okay. Right.
Could happen here, for instance. Okay.
I see you, Daniel. We got a stack here. And Darlene is next.
There is the Pacifica Foundation. There is not KPFA, an independent radio station. There is not any radio station that that Pacifica Foundation operates that is its own business. We are nodes of the Pacifica Foundation. Just to point that out, that we are not independent businesses. That said, WBAI, there is a national policy and procedures manual. And in that policy and procedures manual, other iterations of Pacifica boards have felt it necessary to say, if you cannot pay your staff, you must lay them off. Let's put it in political language. You are not allowed to perpetrate wage theft. We do not internally operate under labor exploitation. If you can't pay them, you can't take their labor. And that's what happened. There was a layoff because it was proven that WBAI could not pay its staff. We, as the Pacifica National Foundation, had to intervene. WBAI was not taken off the air. Pacifica changed the programming for a temporary period of not having any employees. They were all laid off. They had to do something. There was a product that was under exploration, which would be a national news feed, a national programming feed, and they immediately, not as polished as everybody would like, but they immediately put it on the air because we had to maintain our FCC obligation to put material out over the air. We couldn't go silent. So, it was not a happy situation on anybody's part, but to make it a conspiracy of hate, a conspiracy against ourselves, the Pacifica National Board, is missing. Missing the point is an understatement. So thank you.
Time. Thank you. Well, I have a question, and then I had a question. That's their mic.
Oh, yeah, they've got them all down here now.
So I have a question for Tom.
Thank you, Sister Darlene. Thank you.
I have a question for Tom. I've been on this board for forever, it feels like, but it's really been about 3 years. And I have never once heard from Ursula Rudenberg until just now. And Ursula is, she deals with the affiliates, is what she oversees. And she sent, what? Yeah, she's a director, and I've never seen her name on any of the email lists. I've never seen any of her missives. She wrote an email to the members of all the members of the PNB and to a broader audience. Actually, she is very upset about the fact that you violated the bylaws in having a new affiliate election when it's completely against the bylaws. So I would like to ask you, why did you vote for that, for having a new affiliate election, when the time has passed for that, and that is a violation of the bylaws directly?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you repeat the question, please?
Okay. KPFA, sure. No, no, of course. You need to understand this. KPFA is five major stations that are Pacific. I mean, Pacifica, this is an umbrella organization for five stations, but we have about, it's five different stations. But we have a bunch of affiliate stations, about 200, somewhere's around 200.
They play our programming.
They're independent. They're not a part of Pacifica, their governance or anything. But they're across the U.S., and they have their own director. And Ursula is one of their directors. And they recently had this big election, as you all know. They have a director on the Pacifica National Board representing the affiliates. That happened during the whole other election that just happened. It's over with. But the board, not the whole board, but the majority right now, of which Tom is one, voted to have another election for another affiliate director for political reasons. Why would you do that? I mean, it doesn't matter whatever it is. It's against the bylaws to do it. That everybody's always saying we have to go by the bylaws. Well, why did you do that?
I'm trying to remember here. No, I can't recall an answer to your question. It was necessary for some reason. But
it was the last meeting that you had, Tom. You don't remember why?
Well, part of the problem is my recall has been diminished a bunch here because of the health problem that I'm having. I almost did not come to this meeting because of that. And that's all I can really say right now.
Okay, Janine?
I just wanted to ask about a time check because you said we have a hard exit at 3:15 and where we are on the agenda if we need to get moving.
Okay. I do have one more question for Tom. I want to read something briefly, and this is from Berthold Reimers. It's his email to his board, his local station board. He's the manager of WBAI. His email says, to all of the BAI LSB members, so this is public, please distribute to other board members not on this list and print your own copy. Note that we have a few pressing issues. WBAI is not able to cover its payroll of $25,000 due Wednesday, 9/11/2019, and the national office, who has its own financial problems, will not be able to cover it and wait for us to generate the money in the October drive. One solution will be that WBAI does not get paid until the money is generated or found. That's illegal, by the way. The month of September has only generated $7,000 in revenue so far when we expected at least $75,000. Remember, our monthly bill is around $125,000. We are expecting most of the BAI buddies to come in soon, and I am calling to members to ask them to honor their pledges. We have a few venues we're looking at, but whatever money we can generate will not be enough and available within the coming week. This is a timing issue and a cash flow issue. We will be short by about $165,000 this fiscal year. He's projecting that into the first quarter of the next fiscal year. This is not what was owed before. And most of it is being felt now. And I'm really sorry you're feeling unwell, Tom, but I don't understand how you could return WBI back to the air with that same general manager who has managed us into the ground, the network. I think I personally think they're very valuable. I think the New York arena is very valuable. You know, we want BAI to be there. But this is the management we have there. Why would you return the same manager to the organization when this is how he's been running it? I mean, you voted to return him, so could you enlighten me?
Again, don't really have an answer to that question. I do have a question, though. Is, you know, where has all the money gone that was in BAI's bank accounts when they were arbitrarily closed? Whatever money was in their accounts has not been accounted for that I'm
yes,
aware
it has.
Of at this
it,
point.
This Sabrina. Yes, it has, Tom, and you know that. It went to pay for reopening it. If there was any money in the bank account,
We're assuming, you're assuming that there isn't, there was money in the bank
account
at the time
that it was
closed. Well, I
don't know. There's
no
numbers, right? Well, we've been able.
Stop, stop. Don't, please, no shouting out, please. How much was in their bank account that you're referencing?
I have no idea.
Well, then,
so this is all an assumption. This is all conjecture.
There's been no accounting of that.
There has been accounting.
There,
okay,
wasn't
so,
in it.
So this is a National Finance Committee chair question. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is like a series of questions that's come up about the WBAI, the state of WBAI's cash. And it started at the time of the bequest, the $200,000 bequest that they received directly. That has been accounted for to the penny. In fact, it was accounted for by Berthold himself. He sent a letter 3 weeks after receiving that $200,000 payment. Every penny of it was gone. The reasons were that there were a number of past due bills that needed to be taken care of up to that point. Those needed to be taken care of, and they were. All that was handled, and then he had to meet payroll current obligations with the remaining balance. So he was actually he spent $205,000 in the 3 weeks after that $200,000 was received. So the question really isn't, you know, where this question could be asked of WBAI on any given month. Where is the money going? And the answer is that it's being spent faster than it could be received. That's the generic answer to the question. The only time that is not true is when they're in fund drive. That's the only time it's not true, and that's why. And believe me, I have heard it a million different ways, many of which involved four-letter words, that, you know, cutting them off in the middle of a fund drive freaked them out. And this is why. It's because it's the only time they're making ends meet. But as you well know, anybody who works in a station, when you're doing your fund drive, you're not making your listeners happy. I mean, that's just part of the game. You need to do it in order to survive, but you got to get off of the fund drive in order to actually get back to your mission. And so I think Fernilo was put in a very, very bad position. He was put in a position where he had to make a choice between complying with law. Looking at the numbers, there was no way to make it pencil out well. And I've gone through the exercise myself. That's the reason why I felt compelled to address it in this particular way. I've gone through the exercise myself. If somebody came to me and said, how will you make this station run at a profit? I can't answer that question. And I have 25 years of business experience. And that, I find that very upsetting to me personally. But my main disadvantage, the only thing I can offer in defense of that, is that I don't know how to raise money at a station, you know? So I can only go by what they've done to date, which is steadily declining per day revenue, steadily declining per membership receipts per year, steadily declining, you know, other than membership. Membership has ticked up slightly, as they pointed out, if you believe the arbitrons that they're providing, which I'm not sure about either. But the fact of the matter is that it's a declining revenue situation. It's an increasing cost situation. Those curves are just way off, and I could not figure out how to balance that budget. And that's why I haven't actually issued any recommendations for WBAI beyond general ones, is I can't figure out how to do it. So I would appreciate it if BAI has a way figured out where they can actually gainfully continue. I would love to hear that. But until then, I'm kind of like, I didn't understand why Vernile did what he did, when he did, and how he did it. But the further we go along, the more I understand it, which is weird, right? I mean, everybody else is having pretty much the opposite reaction, I guess. But that's my reaction, is that I didn't get it then, but I don't know what I would have done if I were in his position. So,
yes. Why did you vote the way that you voted, Tom?
So, Daniel.
I have two questions. First is, if John Vernile acted according to the law, this was the law, the way it works, why did the courts give the give the station back to the station, back to the WBAI?
Well, first of all, that answer, the court's decision shouldn't have gone through New York courts. Like I said earlier, we are governed by the California Corporation Code, and we are here in California. We're incorporated in California, so there's absolutely no reason for that New York court to have passed that ruling and for that ruling to even been honored. So
but
as far
did.
As that's still, yes, they did, and they should not have done it. And that's mm-hmm. still a question that needs to be answered and dealt with.
Okay, I have one more question.
Without
assuming all the bad stories I've heard about WBAI to be true, and I've heard many, 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 it still looks to me like taking the station over as was done cost more to Pacifica than just keeping it going the way it was.
Yeah, that's true. And that's because the so-called majority on the PNB put through a TRO, which costs the foundation money in legal fees, okay? They got their little pro bono lawyer, Arthur Schwartz, who happens to have a show on WBAI, and he did the free work, and that costs the foundation money that we have to pay.
Yeah, but all of this is foreseeable. I mean, you know that WBAI
What's foreseeable?
People are going to
what
resist.
What exactly are you talking about that? Is foreseeable or was foreseeable?
Okay. No, okay. Let me just say something. I just want to point out that these were employees of Pacifica, okay? WBAI employees are employees of Pacifica. They were laid off. So just take it out of Pacifica for a moment and imagine that it was the workers at General Motors, and they've been laid off. They don't get to go to court and get their positions reinstated. Okay, that's not how the law works. Okay, you know, employers have the right to lay off employees, and that is exactly what happened. And the reason why, if you just want a little history, is that Arthur Schwartz happened to have a personal knowledge, personal relationship with the judge in New York that issued the TRO. The TRO was issued completely improperly without complying with any court procedure. The judge knew Arthur Schwartz personally, met in the lobby of the judge's hotel room at 9:30 at night, completely improperly, indicated to Pacifica's attorney that he had already made up his mind before he heard the arguments, and then issued the TRO.
It also went to a federal court.
And that federal court overturned that TRO.
And handed it back to the state court.
For a different reason, not for that reason. The federal court turned it back because he didn't think he had jurisdiction, not because he disagreed. The federal court overturned that TRO initially, but then later decided that the federal court did not have jurisdiction because it's a bylaw issue that actually should be decided in California because it's a California corporation, California bylaws.
Thank you, Sharon. We are going to have to go out pretty soon, so I think we probably... I would like to ask one more question. And I have an email here where Berthold Vernial, not Berthold Reimers, I'm sorry, Reimers. I was thinking, well, I know that Berthold Reimers, I'm thinking about Vernial because we've been talking about him, I'm sorry. Berthold Reimers went over his numbers and in detail, and found that there were approximately 1,194 duplicate names on the membership list. And so I would like to know why you didn't make the NES, Renee Penaloza. Why, as the board, didn't you have her make that correction publicly? Because it has yet to be made publicly that there were those duplicate names that he had on his membership list, which actually made it look like there were a lot more people who were members of WBAI than there actually are. And I have the figures. There were 1,194 votes were invalidated from the original 8,181. So why haven't they publicly changed those numbers, Tom? I mean, you've rehired the NES, who refused apparently to change those numbers. So I'm concerned that the board rehired the National Election Supervisor.
I can't answer that question. You need to be asking that of BAI. I have no idea.
You hire the people. The board is the actual body. You are the management body. We are committees here. We don't hire. I mean, the manager can be proposed by WBAI, but he works for Pacifica. He doesn't work for WBAI. That's what we've been discussing here. It's the organization is Pacifica. So why was she rehired when she refused to change the numbers? Because that is a legal issue.
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay, well, it's been fun. So, yeah. Wait, we actually need to end. It's 3:15. No, go ahead. Quick
adjourn.
Question. Yeah, go ahead. Quick. Go ahead. If it's quick.
Use the mic.
I have here draft profit and loss statements for the national office and all of the stations that show for FY19 personnel costs, including salaries and benefits, of over $500,000 for FY19 at the national office. So when did all the staff go away at the national office?
Yeah.
I understand it's a draft, and it might need to be.
So, okay, this is exactly the kind of question that I'm hoping to address before those documents are made public.
Okay.
Because I, as far as I understand, the number that you just gave me is not correct.
Fine, but there's a big difference between $500,000 and personnel costs and zero. So I just want to know what the truth is.
Okay, so as far as I know, the administrative costs figure. Okay, I think that the net of costs are part of that personnel cost. In other words, do you see anything? I don't have the sheets in front of me right now, and this, like I say, this is exactly the kind of question you should send me an email, and I will address this question.
Great, I will do that. Thank you.
Move to adjourn. Second.
And I want to thank. And we're adjourning, but I want to thank the new board members for
thank you
lively
thank
session
you.
That you had today.
No.
Well, yeah, it'll go under old business. We'll have it under the next one.